Lummer, how you doing?
Good, pretty good. What's going on, man? It's windy out there.
It is pretty windy. Jeez, that hair of yours though, it doesn't even move though. That's rock solid in the wind, isn't
That's
it?
right.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to see.
A lot of people are about Milan Lucic and what he said, how Dale Weiss in my mind kind of tattled on him to the media. Those conversations should stay there. There, I'm sure you have heard significantly more horrific things where guys kind of verbally threaten guys on the ice, but you don't ever take it serious, do you?
Well, I find it hard to believe that there's not more of that stuff. Because, I mean, the games, I mean, look how intense that hockey was. And then all of a sudden it's over and you're supposed to just, okay, get in line and shake hands with these guys you're trying to beat the crap out of for 2 weeks, you know? But, I mean, I've been told, Clark Billy said he was going to kill me. He was going to take the 25 years and get out early for good behavior. That's what Billy Carroll told me. He says, Lumber, if you ever see Clark Gillies, like in the summer or something,
yeah,
run like hell. He says, because he's going to get you. He told me. He says he's going to kill you.
Now, did you ever run into him off the ice?
No, I haven't, but I've talked to Brian Trottier like the last two times he's been in town. Can you put in a good word for me, Trots? So hopefully that's over and done with.
Now, but back when you guys played, like guys, like literally there was animosity. There was no friendships. Guys didn't summer together and hang out or train with the same trainer from players on different teams. That's not how it worked.
No, not at all. I mean, I never saw anybody in the summer from any other team. Well, there was one time in Hawaii we ran into a couple of Detroit guys, but that was party central at the time. So, nobody was thinking hockey. But you're right, though. I don't think I can't remember ever seeing anybody from another team in Edmonton in the summers.
And I guess that made it more of a rivalry because there wasn't any of, well, geez, this guy actually isn't a bad guy because you hang out with him in the summertime, right?
Well, you know, when you find that out, Jason, is at these, like the Alzheimer's thing that we play, and that's when you find out what the guys are really like. You know, it's all over and done with, and, that's way in the past. Like Jim Poplinski said, we were up in Fort McMurray together at an event, and somebody asked him, like, do you guys still hate each other? And Pepper says, well, no, I mean, like take Lummer, for example. He broke my nose, and I've forgiven him. And I said to him, well, that's when you were wailing on Kenny Linsman. He's like a foot shorter than you. He says, well, not that time. So, yay, I broke his nose twice. But, that was a long time ago. But I can see guys carrying it over to the following summer and maybe to the next season. But not 25 years later, geez.
Dave Lumley joined us. What do you make of the asking for respect factor? Did you ever care if the other team respected you? Was it a necessity?
I don't think that word was ever even brought up. We just wanted to beat the other team. I don't know where this all came from. I know that that's big in the basketball and football down the States, but I can't remember ever hearing something like that in hockey. Beat the other team, then you'll get your respect,
Yeah, when did, like, you might have respected players, but I doubt you ever, like, you guys in your room might have talked about respect and respect their skill set, but it was never something you actually discussed to the other team. Like, and on the ice, I'm sure you're always taught not to show respect for their opponent in the sense of, don't respect them too much to the point where you're not going to play your own game.
Honestly, Jason, I don't think that word ever came up.
Okay.
Like, there was never, respect him, but still play hard against him. I don't think that was ever mentioned. It was just, just go out and beat the crap out of those guys. Win your four games, move on. It was never even mentioned. Okay, who do we play next? We weren't worried about, okay, now we're getting respect because we beat them. Never even came into play.
Dave Lumley joins us. Do you see a significant difference in the games in the Western Conference compared to the Eastern Conference of the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those guys, they're so big, they're so heavy, and everybody finishes their checks. And it's where you're really going to see the difference, I think, is this, the next series with Montreal and New York, two skating teams, kind of, a bunch of small players. And then watch the Western Conference game and see, that's where you're really going to see the difference. Because those guys, there's a lot of big players, and even the small players play big. So I think we're really going to see a difference the next round.
Looking at those big teams, Dave, having sitting here in Edmonton, you live here in Edmonton, does it make it kind of cringe to think, man, the Oilers have a long way to go to try to beat those big, heavy teams of the West?
They've got a long ways to go. I mean, you know, a lot of people will say, like, well, Chicago, they're not that big. Like, look at Taze, he's not that big. Or, you know, Patrick Kane. But they play big. They know how to use their bodies to, you know, fend off other players. And, like, look at Taze going to the hard, you know, in front of the net and taking that punishment. And, like, a little, like, a Brendan Gallagher is a perfect example, I think. He's small, but he plays big. We don't have, none of our guys play big. And I think it's going to be a long ways to go because we're tied in with Nuge. You know, Halsey plays, you know, he plays a pretty good game, and Eberle. But two of those three are pretty small, and we're tied in for 6 years with those guys as our best players. I think we got a long ways to go.
Did you learn how to play big from playing with a guy like Messier, or is that just something you have to learn from yourself regardless of who your teammates are?
I learned how to play big when I got 6 feet of hockey stick in my hand. That made me real big.
Yeah, so because it really comes from the player, right? It's not like necessarily your teammates can have guys. Like when we talk about leadership, Dave, and you know, a leader, can he make you play better, per se?
Jeez, I don't think so. I think motivation has to come from within. Either you've got it or you don't. I mean, you either take pride in the way you play or you don't. Now, I will say this, that when I came back from Hartford, you know, I played regular shift, power play, penalty killing there. I played a lot. When I came back to the Oilers, I was out of shape. So I got embarrassed. I literally got embarrassed into playing harder and playing faster and playing better because those guys were so good. But, I think you've either got hard or you don't.
Dave Lumley joins us. That's a real interesting one. So when Messi was the great leader, if he didn't lead you to be a better player, in what ways did he lead?
Well, I think him and Gretz. I mean, they came to play every night. And, you know, we used to have, you know the term, playing guilty. You know, guys that went out the night before or something like that. You know, when you came to play the next night, you knew, like, the guys knew that you'd been out, so you played that much harder and that much better, you know, because you felt guilty about doing what you did. Well, those guys kind of instill that in you, that you just don't want to be embarrassed, because when your best players are playing as hard as they did, I mean, it makes you, okay, I'm not leaving anything in the tank tonight, because those guys aren't.
Yeah, so basically their effort reminds you to at least give your best effort, but they necessarily can't make you better. You've got to be as good as you are based on your own skill set.
Well, absolutely. But, like, you know, you get back to the stick thing. You know, I wasn't the biggest guy. I mean, 5'11", 185, although I was 6'1", 200 in the program 1 year. But I remember Kevin McClellan, when he came from Pittsburgh to the Oilers, he came up to me and says, holy mackerel, our whole team thought you were crazy, Lumber. I go, why? He says, well, I don't know what you did. You high-sticked somebody or you speared somebody, and we all thought you were a Looney Tune. Nobody wanted to go near you. Well, great. You know, you hear something like that. Well, let's keep doing that.
It's interesting how much space, and I know the game's a little bit different now. Every little high stick is shown on video 1,000 times. But, you know, you talked earlier about Gallagher and, you know, guys like Taves, you know, who play hard and compete. Do you think that intimidation factor is still alive in today's game?
Geez, I think so. I mean, look at the response from Sidney Crosby in that series. You know, they were all over him. I mean, he's supposed to be like the face of the league, that we know, one of the, if not the best player. And I think they just intimidated him. They took the body on him every time, and they were hooking him and slashing him and high-sticking him, knocking his helmet, squirting water bottles at him. So I think intimidation is a big part of the game.
Anyone ever squirt a water bottle at you when you played?
No, never. I probably would have speared him in the face, to tell you the truth, but no.
No? Did you ever squirt anybody with a water bottle?
No.
No?
I was a goal scorer, Gregory. You know that. Come on. You get that petty stuff.
Yeah. Have you just finished telling us how McClellan thought you were a crazy lunatic? You never mentioned that you were a great goal scorer.
One time we were playing Minnesota. Remember Paul Schmier?
Yeah.
I was cutting in front of the other team's net, and he came out of nowhere and cross-checked me, and it almost took my head off in the crossbar. And I saw who it was. I went down, and I saw who it was, and he went straight to the bench and sat down. This was my first year, and I went over, and I was so mad. I went to spear him right in the face. He was sitting on the bench, and he moved his head, and my stick went right against the glass behind him. Now, I think subconsciously, something inside said, okay, don't do it in the face, don't do it in the face. And at the last second, I, you know, went to the side. But I'll tell you what, that stick is, it's a weapon out there, I'll tell you.
Now, no suspension, anything for that back then, was there?
Well, there weren't as many cameras. You know, I don't even think the ref saw it. There was nothing, but Schmears, he never came near me again. Wonder why.
Now, Glenn Anderson had a reputation of being a guy who was careless with his stick. And, you know, we saw he had 8-game suspension. So, you know, that's what created him a lot of space, was the uncertainty of what a player might do.
That's exactly right. And, Andy, that perfect description. I mean, he was just so reckless, and he skated with, I mean, I don't even think he knew what he was doing. His stick was going one way, his body the other, his skates. You know, he'd cut in off that wing, you know, the off wing, which seemed like on a 90-degree angle, and bang, he's into the goalie, and his stick's flying, his stick's hitting the defenseman in the face, and all of a sudden the puck's in the net. And I don't think anybody knew what the heck to do with Andy, except Billy Smith. Billy Smith would just swing his stick at him.
Was there ever a player, you know, you mentioned how Paul Smear never came close to you after you did that. Was there ever a guy who pulled like a Dave Lumley on you, or you're like, hey, I'm not going near him again?
I don't think so.
No one.
I can't think of anybody. You're saying, was I afraid of anybody? Hell no.
No. Well, everybody.
The only guy that I had something going with every year was Jim Poplinski.
Yeah.
Jim and I went at it every year. You know, one of us would run some of the other guy after the whistle, and I remember, like, this went on for like 6 years straight. And the first game of the seventh season, there was a face-off in our end, and, you know, of course I was a winger, but Pepper was a centerman, and he had just run me again, and the linesman was just ready to drop the puck between our centerman and Poplinski, and I just kind of glided into the circle with my stick on my, you know, on my shins. And I said, Pepper, are we going through this crap again this year? He says, damn right we are. I said, okay, let's get her going. And we did again.
What started that rivalry between the two of you?
Well, I mean, the fact that they were with Calgary started the whole thing. But I don't know. I think, you know, the first time I played against him, I either ran him or he ran me. And then, you know, we would just take turns. And he'd high stick me, I'd high stick him. It wasn't Poplinski, but I remember one game in Calgary, there was an icing call, and I was just gliding back down to my own end. You know, everything had stopped, everything was calm, just gliding down, and out of nowhere, Tim Hunter came and just, like, high-sticked me right in my left cheek and cut me for 5 stitches. Nobody saw it. You know, there was not that many cameras back then. But he was a different character, though. I didn't really want to go after him.
Yeah, Hunter was kind of tough, wasn't he?
He was really tough. Remember him and Donnie Jackson going at it all the time.
Yeah, and he fought Semenko probably more than he should, because Semenko was in a different weight class even than Hunter.
Exactly. Well, Semenko went with Muhammad Ali for 3 rounds.
Were you at that fight?
I was, yeah. Sammy was doing pretty good, but Ali was doing the bobbing and weaving thing.
Yeah.
And then Semenko caught him with one, and all of a sudden you see the Ali's eyes just lit right up, and boom, boom, boom. Semenko showed us after. He says, boom, boom, boom. I got welt here, and a welt here. Never even saw the punches.
Yeah, well, and that shows kind of the difference, right, in an elite boxer, just how fast their hands are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in hockey, you try and grab on with your left arm and, you know, swing with the right until you run into a lefty that you don't know anything about. Then you're being twirled in circles and getting the crap pounded out of you.
Now, Dave, we have a texter who swears he saw you throw a water bottle at Jerry Korab one game. Any truth to that? Or is this guy's memory a little fuzzy?
Jeez, I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I'm supposed to remember that.
Well, throwing a water bottle, unless it was a regular occurrence, which a sportsman-like player like yourself.
That had to be Dave Hunter. I get mistaken for him all the time, all those stupid things. And I'm telling you, it happens all the time. Somebody will tell me, oh, yeah, I remember you. You did this or that. I said, you sure that wasn't Dave Hunter? Oh, yeah, you're right, it was Hunter.
Now, and then Hunter was... I think a lot of people in Edmonton, maybe, you know, from that generation, that they don't really like Hunter was a very good penalty killer, but he was kind of a super pest. Just was he a mouthy guy on the ice, Dave, or was he just a guy that was in their face all the time?
No, I think it was the coffee. it sounds funny. I never drank coffee till I got to Edmonton, and I'd see Hunt, and he'd have like 20 of those styrofoam cups of coffee before every game. And I'd say, Hans, what are you doing? Like, how can you drink so much coffee? Oh, Lummer, like, it really gets you up for the game. It really gets me going. I mean, I'm so fired up right now. You know, most of the time he'd go out and take a stupid elbowing penalty his first shift, but he was always riled up and ready to go for every game.
So basically that was like his Red Bull of the 80s.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, guys would sit around and poor Hans. Like, this went on for 8 years. He would sit his coffee cup down, and, you know, those little sugar cubes?
Mm-hmm.
There'd be like three or four guys around the room sitting with about five or six of those cubes in their hands waiting for Hunts to turn away. Like if he went to get his stick or something, boom, all of a sudden there's two or three guys dropping these sugar cubes in his coffee. So when he got to the bottom, he's got 15 sugar cubes melted. So throw 20 cups of coffee in with, you know, probably 50 sugar cubes. You wonder why he was out there running around.
He's bouncing off the walls. Now, when he quit playing, did he suddenly just stop the coffees?
I think he started eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know he got up to 350 at one point, so that can't be all coffee.
He was 350?
Yeah, 350.
Oh, geez. He's slimmed down now? I haven't seen Hunts in a while.
Well, I saw him once, and I think he told me he was down to 320, and you could actually see the difference. But then he went to Phoenix. He always goes down to Phoenix for, I think, February, whenever breakup is in the oil patch. And when I saw him when he came back, and I think the 30 came back on pretty quick. He's finally growing into his head, though. He looks proportional now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Now, one last one for you. Are you playing in that Hockey Heroes game on Friday?
Yes, I am. Yep, the big gala Friday night at River Cree, and then Saturday it's at Claire Drake, I think, right?
Saturday at Claire Drake, yeah. Are you? Can you try to get Strudwick an assist?
Oh, geez. Give me something easy.
And give him some hair tips. Like, tell him the dream's over. That would be good,
okay,
too.
I'm going to wear my nicest sweater just for him.
Thank you. He does love his sweaters better
doesn't
than anybody.
He?
Oh, he loves them.
Himself, period.
He is a big...
He's never met a better guy.
Yeah, that's true. There's no bigger fan of Struds than Struds, which is what makes him such
right.
a good dude. So.
He's great, though, isn't he?
He is. He's a funny guy. Yeah. Lummer, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care. Thanks, buddy. Bye.